Welcome to Reasonably Fit, the podcast where we'll teach you everything you need to know about health and fitness, but in a much more reasonable way than you might be used to.
Think about us as your friendly fitness experts, but we're chill about it.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
What's going on?
We're here. We're ready. Today we're going to get kind of right into the episode because this is going to be an episode that we refer back to a lot, yep. I think, in the future, and one that we want to sort of keep as on topic as possible, as hard as that is for us sometimes.
So today's topic is going to be eight principles to being reasonably fit.
Yes.
And as we were brainstorming this sort of topic, we were like, this probably should have been episode number one, our pilot, to go over our general concepts and principles that we believe in and really abide by. But here we are.
Here we are, 10 episodes. It's episode 10. It feels like a good,
it feels like a round number.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this is going to be, when we were first drafting up this podcast episode, we were like, well, we could do a whole episode on every single one of these principles, which is kind of the point. So today, I think we're going to try to give a little bit more just of an introduction to each principle, what we mean when we say it, so that if we bring it up in the future or if we do an entire episode on it, you kind of already have a little bit of knowledge of what we're referring to and what we're talking about.
Yeah. So this is eight principles to being reasonably fit. And a lot of these principles came about because we feel as though that the fitness industry is very unreasonable, right? A lot of the fitness information and fitness advice being put out there are people that are, let's say, bodybuilders or competing in powerlifting or aspiring Olympic weightlifters, and they're very much heavily invested in their sport or whatever they're competing at, and they're the ones often providing the advice. And when that's the advice, it's usually very extreme measures, right? Things that are just very niche into whatever their sport or whatever they're competing in. And when these extreme measures are the ones that are constantly being put out there, it starts to be just the very everyday average advice. And the everyday lifter who isn't necessarily looking to become a competitive bodybuilder or a competitive powerlifter or, you know, whatever in the fitness industry, they feel as though they have to do so much. They have to do so much more in so little time. And it's almost like this sort of like intense panicky feeling because you feel like you're not doing enough at all times. And some of the principles that we are going to go over today will hopefully kind of take the stress off a little bit, ease off some of those burdens, and hopefully make fitness be what it should be, which is a more enjoyable endeavor that you get to do, not something that you have to do.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not sort of even putting the blame on people who are at this high level because they have to be unreasonable to get to that high level, right? Like they have to take sort of extreme measures to even get there in the first place.
Yeah.
And they are inspiring to a lot of people, right? You see their stories, you see them working really hard, and you feel very inspired. You feel really motivated in that moment to be like, oh man, like look at them go. I want to be like them. And so it's understandable why this has been the predominant sort of information that's coming out because you have these sort of charismatic, inspirational characters who you're looking up to, but then we forget to dial it back and say like, but their life is not my life.
Yeah.
Like their life is bodybuilding. Their life is football. Like their life is whatever sport they're playing or whatever they're competing in. And so they get to take all of these extreme measures in order to enhance what they're actually being paid to do or competing to do, right?
Yeah. And so we're going to be providing a lot of principles towards being reasonably fit. But the other thing that we want to get across is that these principles are still going to help you achieve a very high level of health and fitness. Yeah. It's not to say that these are in any way inferior. It's just a different approach because most people's goals, again, aren't to compete at a high level in a very specific niche area of fitness. So we don't want to come across as these are inferior in any way.
Yeah, or like demotivational.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, womp, womp. Hopefully this is still going to give you a little bit more clarity on how you can incorporate fitness into your life in a really positive way. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get right into it.
All right. We're going to get right into it. So we are going to start with principle number one. And this is to have fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life. And this one is, it's number one for a reason. It really almost envelops everything else. It's kind of like an umbrella principle of being reasonably fit, is that we want everything that you're doing to fit into your life, enhance your life, not feel like a burden, not feel like something that is, that, like you were saying, Jason, earlier, like that you have to do, that you are responsible for doing because there are all these rules in place. Like, we want you to enjoy life and have fitness be a part of that life that you enjoy.
Yeah. Like I was saying before, people feel like they always have to do more in a shorter amount of time and they have to resort to these extreme measures. But in order to resort to those extreme measures, you have to basically upheave your entire life. But that isn't really realistic, right? It's not, especially if you have kids or if you work a demanding job, or basically if fitness isn't like your number one priority, it becomes really difficult. And upheaving your entire life to try to get in better shape isn't a recipe for success in our minds.
Yeah, or a recipe for like long-term sustainability. Like, yeah, that can be sometimes a short-term attempt or a short-term thing, but then eventually you're like, well, I do actually have a life and responsibilities and a job that is not in fitness. And, you know, like, there's even we use all of these principles for ourselves, but even we are in the fitness industry. Like, we still have a almost leg up on a lot of other people's situations where this is like, this is our job and our life,
right?
You know, like, most people have other jobs, other careers, other, you know, family obligations. And just to assume that, or I think a lot of the fitness advice out there assumes that fitness is just the end all be all of everybody's life, because people who are putting out this information are working in the fitness industry. They're in the gym all day. Like, they don't have the same sort of lifestyle that most people who are just trying to get a little bit fitter actually are having.
Yeah. And so what the advice often looks like, especially with things like what I eat in a day videos or my meal plan or my workout plan, is that you should be walking around with a gallon of water in your hand at all times, that you should be meal prepping every single meal and snack and have it perfectly mapped out in these like perfectly portioned Tupperwares, and that you need to sleep 8+ hours per night and all the sort of like quote unquote rules that you need to follow. And people feel like they have to follow them in order to be fit. But when things start to become too all-consuming, that's when it becomes so unsustainable.
Yeah. And so that's perfect that you brought that up, because we do recognize that there is sort of an ideal, if you want to call it that. Like, there is an ideal number of hours that you could sleep. If we lived in, like, let's pretend we all lived in a lab and we literally did nothing else but, you know, eat, sleep, work out, like, but there was no other obligations in our lives, right?
No responsibilities, yeah.
Then there are like probably an ideal number of hours to sleep, an ideal food plan, meal plan, an ideal number of hours to work out, an ideal type of workout. Like, all of those things do exist in this laboratory situation. Mm-hmm. But that is not life. We don't live in a lab and we're not all in a similar situation. And so what we need to strive for, instead of striving for ideal all the time, is striving for good enough. And that sounds really unmotivational, but it is something to consider when you're looking at your life, is what is good enough right now? Like, what is going to be better than nothing right now? And then as you move through life, and we're going to go through this in a future principle, but as you move through life, being flexible and able to adjust that, but striving for good enough right now more than nothing is something that is an okay thing to strive for.
Yeah. And oftentimes it's going to be very successful, because you're finding ways that are working for you, not trying to upheave your life to work towards some sort of random ideal that someone told you that you should be doing.
Right. Yeah. So that is principle number one, have fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life. And I think a lot of the next principles will kind of fit into that category as well.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to principle number two. This is going to be focus on health over fitness.
So with this particular principle, it's probably good to talk about what pursuing fitness over health kind of looks like.
Yeah.
So health in our minds is basically your overall well-being, your overall functionality, vitality, things like that. When people are looking to improve their fitness, that is when people, let's say, they do crash diets or detoxes or cleanse as a means of chasing better performance or better aesthetics or whatever. Did I say performance?
Yep.
Or whatever goal that or outcome that they have that they're looking for. They're basically trying to take shortcuts in order to achieve their fitness goals faster while potentially sacrificing aspects of their health.
Yeah, absolutely. Another good example of this is pushing through pain when you're working out. So, you know, thinking about wanting to achieve something in the gym, and even if you feel a little ache or pain here and there, like just doing it anyway because you have that outcome so in mind and that fitness goal so in mind that you're sacrificing a potential, you're risking a potential injury, which would obviously be negatively impacting your overall health to just achieve this specific goal.
Yeah, this one is something that I'm definitely really notorious at, I would say. I'm definitely getting better as I'm getting older, but it's like, okay, I've been sitting at a desk for, let's say, 7 hours. I'm tired because the night before, the kids woke me up early. My nutrition that day hasn't been that great. I go downstairs to our home gym, and I try to go and deadlift. And my back starts feeling a little bit funky because I didn't warm up enough properly, and things aren't feeling good. And I invariably will always try to hit whatever numbers that I had as my expectation for that day. I'll push through the sets, and you know, sometimes I get lucky and my back doesn't hurt the next day, and sometimes I've pushed it too far. And that's a classic example of overreaching because of either ego issues or because you're trying to reach your fitness goals faster, but you're sacrificing your health in the long run. And eventually, you know, if I were to get hurt, that's going to set me back 3 or 4 weeks to try to get back to my normal back health and my normal deadlift strength. So again, trying to chase these sort of like shortcut measures in order to pursue your fitness goals ultimately is going to slow you down.
Yeah. So you have to just basically ask yourself in those situations, is doing this going to, is it worth the potential risk, basically? Like, it's almost like a risk reward balance at this point. Like, is chasing fitness worth, is what I'm going to do to chase these fitness goals worth the any potential risk to my health? And sometimes it will be, you know, like sometimes you want to just really push yourself and you know that what you're doing isn't, you're not putting yourself at risk for injury, right? Like maybe you're trying to hit a PR on the rower or something. And so you're trying to just go faster and push harder. And like, it kind of hurts, but you're not in pain. You know what I mean? Like it just hurts your soul and you're just like, this is really hard and you're pushing really hard. But like, you know that you're not at risk for injury in that situation. Mm-hmm. Those are times where pushing and trying to achieve something, that's not a high risk, right? But there's a lot of times where, like in your situation, what you're saying, Jason, you go downstairs and you're like, well, I'm supposed to hit 315 today, but I warmed up at 225 and it already feels heavy.
Yeah.
Now what do I do? And like, really think about it. Like, what benefit is actually going to be there by pushing yourself to 315, knowing your back is already feeling tweaky, knowing that there's a potential risk for injury? Or what if you just do some light sets of deadlifts to keep that movement in your system, to keep your body kind of like primed to do it, but don't push the weights that day?
Yeah.
What's going to actually be better for you?
Yeah, totally.
And it's so hard to make that decision in the moment.
Yeah. You're basically thinking, I'm going to lose all my gains. This whole program has gone to waste. This is a wasted workout. But yeah, ultimately the risk highly outweighs the reward in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, this can be taken to an even higher extreme where people, especially nowadays with social media, we have these younger influencers taking steroids and taking performance enhancement drugs to achieve a better physique, basically. And so they are sacrificing components of their health in order to look, quote unquote, fit and look healthy. And so that's another extreme example. And then there's also less extreme examples where people are following certain diets and plans where they are cutting out entire food groups, entire macronutrients, like completely eliminating carbs, which is what you need to sustain your workouts and your overall life, or completely taking away fat. Like, it's just not a sustainable solution. And your body needs all of these macronutrients. They're nutrients.
Right. Yeah. They're nutrients. No, it's very true, but it feels, it's all basically kind of what you can gather from this is trying not to be short-sighted with what you're doing in attempts to improve your health and fitness. Yeah. If you're feeling very short-sighted and like, I'm just going to do, and I mean, I'm very guilty, or I was very guilty of feeling this sense of like panic and anxiety around, for me, it was body image things, but it could be for some people, they could feel the same way about like fitness or strength goals, but feeling this sense of like urgency and immediacy about having to lose 10 pounds. And like, I have to do it now. I'm feeling so bad. I have to do this now. And taking extreme measures because of that feeling of urgency. And so the idea here is to try, and it's hard when you're in it and you're really feeling, you know, any negative feelings about yourself, but to try to zoom out and step back and think about a long-term sustainable approach, because we know from experience, and if you're listening, you probably know because you've probably done it too, that these very short-term crash extreme diets or extreme workout plans are not sustainable, and you do end up doing this yo-yoing up and down, back and forth scenario. Okay, so that sort of covers principle number two, focus on health over fitness. Principle number three is consistency over intensity. And this principle can apply to a few different areas of your health and fitness. But when it comes to workouts specifically, we're really talking about, instead of going for crushing, really intense workouts that are daunting and super exhausting, it's going to be more beneficial to go with manageable workouts that you can sustain over the long term. This is another one that is a very unflashy statement from us, right? Like, instead of being super intense, like, just be kind of manageable.
Because, I mean, that is going to be what actually moves the needle forward, right? Consistency, your frequency of workouts, your ability to progressively overload. Like, these are the things that are going to be your biggest indicators that you are progressing and doing well, not things like how intense was the workout, how sore you were, whether or not you could walk up and down the stairs the next day. Like, these are all just byproducts of your workouts, but they're not actually telling you whether or not you are moving the needle forward.
Yeah, there's definitely this feeling that if your workout, like, we get the question all the time, if I'm not sore, was my workout not hard enough? Mm-hmm. And like, there's such a misunderstanding of what a good workout should even like look like and what you should feel like after a good workout. And like, we always ask people, like, do you feel like you got stronger? Do you feel good? Like, so you should actually, you can leave a workout feeling better than you did when you came in. Like, you don't have to feel destroyed. You don't have to feel like you can't walk out the door. Like, you actually can get a workout in that elevates your physical health and like makes you feel better. But we are so conditioned to be like, you have to break down your muscles, you have to beat your body down in order to progress. And like, there's a little bit of truth to that. Like, you do have to break down muscles in order for them to repair and restore and recover. But I think we've taken it so far to such an extreme that people forget that just a good solid strength workout with a little sweat at the end is a awesome workout. You should feel great about it.
Especially when you do that for years and years.
Yes.
It's just that people feel like they have to be so intense all the time. And ultimately, like, that sort of motivation is only going to last for a couple weeks, a few weeks. And then after that, it's going to be really difficult to motivate yourself to get into the gym to do that sort of ridiculously daunting and exhausting workout. And so it becomes the equivalent of like crash dieting, where you diet really, really hard for a couple weeks, and then you get off that diet, and then you get back onto it. And so it's like yo-yo dieting, but it's also like yo-yo workouting in this instance as well. So we think it's going to be so much more beneficial and mentally beneficial as well to just think about manageable workouts for a long period of time, as opposed to this sort of like high intensity and then like back off, and then high intensity and back off, high intensity, back off. Like, that is going to be physically and mentally draining to do that all the time.
Yeah. And we talked about this in our first episode, actually, about motivation, how to get motivated for your workouts. And one of the, I think it was the number one thing that we recommended, is to lower the intensity of your workouts. Because for so many people, the thought of, I'm not even going to be able to move after this, I'm going to be so exhausted after this, like, that alone can be so unmotivating to actually go get your workout done.
Yeah.
But if you're feeling like, I really can get this done. No matter how tired I am, no matter how, like, what I had going on throughout this day, like, I know that I can get down into the gym, or I keep saying down because now our gym is in the basement, but I can get to the gym and I can go through. Sometimes it's just, can you go through the motions? Like, can you do the exercises and not feel like your, like, heart rate is going to skyrocket and you're going to be laying in a puddle of sweat on the floor at the end? Like, can you just go through the motions of this workout and then do that again tomorrow, and then do it again the next day? Because consistency is always going to outweigh intensity. All right, let's move into principle number four, which is add when you can, subtract when you need. So this one is really talking about, there are different seasons of your life, and in some seasons of your life, you might need to, you might be able to do more. And in some seasons of your life, you may need to scale back, and giving yourself the freedom to look at your life and where you're at and decide, is this a time where I can add in an extra workout or two? Or is this a time where I need to scale back my number of workouts? Or is this a time where I can be a little bit more proactive with my nutrition? Or is this a time where I need to just be really loose with my guidelines? And giving yourself that freedom to add when you can and subtract when you need.
And this can be, this isn't like a very structured thing. It can be very fluid depending on what is going on in your life. And it could be as little as like, oh, I just am feeling sick. I know for the next couple of weeks, I should try to dial it back a little bit. Or it could be even like a season. Like if you're an accountant and you're about to enter tax season, you know that for the next 3 months or so, time is going to be really limited and you need to cut back on your workouts a little bit, cut back on whatever you've been doing. Or it could be even as lengthy as like, I'm about to go get my master's degree. And I know for the next 2 years, life is going to be really difficult. Time is going to be really limited. And so I know for the next 2 years, I'm going to be a little bit even more reasonable and kind of scale back a little bit. But I know that afterwards, I can jump right back into it and do what I was doing before. And so it's basically just taking stock of what's happening in your life and being setting realistic expectations and being totally okay with it, because you know that this journey is going to be a long one. And all you need to do is just keep scaling back and forth in a very organic fashion, depending on what you have going on.
Yeah. And so many times we get people asking us, what is the ideal number of workouts per week? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a question that we get asked all the time. Like, what would you say is the ideal number of workouts per week? And we cannot answer that question for them. And I think that's probably frustrating, like, because it depends is the answer. And yeah, it depends on the season of your life. Like, if we told you five and you only have two, how is that helpful?
Yeah.
If we told you two and you had five, how is that helpful?
Right.
So there's not going to be a perfect number of times per week that you can work out. There's not going to be a perfect number of calories that you should be eating, because everything in your life is constantly changing and evolving and shifting. And if we just gave you blanket statements, which is what the fitness industry does, blanket number of calories you should take in, blanket number of workouts that you should be able to do, then it never takes into account what's going on in your life. And then you are feeling constantly like you're failing in one direction or the other.
And this, I think this principle just mentally will help you so much in terms of making it okay to add when you can, subtract when you can't. And it just puts you more in the driver's seat and also just give you permission to do all these things without it being a big deal, without it feeling like you're feeling shame around the whole subject. It just makes more sense logically.
Yeah. And I think it pertains more to what's going on in your life currently, rather than this is what you should be doing blanket statement, like adding and subtracting from what you're currently doing, not changing your life to fit this arbitrary recommendation that some personal trainer gave you.
Yeah.
And then from there, figuring out what to do. It's like, look at your life right now, this moment in time right now. What are you doing? Are you working out twice a week? Are you playing pickup soccer on Saturdays? Like, what are you doing right now? And then when you think about it, really, could you add a little more? Or when you think about it, really, do you feel stressed about the number of workouts and getting them in? And does it feel overwhelming to you? And are you feeling like you're barely hanging on? Maybe you need to take one of those away. But looking at it from what is currently going on, not from what you feel like you should be doing or what is quote unquote ideal.
Yeah.
All right. So that sort of covers principle number four, which is add what you can, subtract what you need. Number five is think more, not less, when it comes to nutrition. So this one is sort of our only one that is dedicated specifically to nutrition. A lot of the other principles cover it more generally, but we wanted to have one that is more specific because this is something where nutrition is always spoken about in terms of less, like doing less, eating less, being less, eating less calories, eating less food groups. Like, it's always about less. And we have found through working with thousands of people and also having, I have a nutrition coaching background, that when you focus on adding as opposed to, or when you focus on more as opposed to less when it comes to nutrition, getting in more nutrient dense foods, sometimes getting in more calories, it is going to be not only so much more empowering of an approach to nutrition, but it's also going to help you feel so much better and healthier overall.
Yeah, it takes a lot of willpower to say no in the moment or to restrict yourself in the moment. And to do that as a constant lifestyle is so draining and is going to ultimately set you up for failure because it's such a daunting process. And so we found that, yeah, eating more nutrient-dense foods, try to get a little bit more protein into your diet, try to add a vegetable into your breakfast. Like, these are strategies that are like seem way more manageable than being like, oh, eat 500 less calories per day. And it's like, well, what kind of guideline is that?
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's telling you nothing, actually, except for do less. And that's just so not, it's so unmotivating, but also is so unhelpful. And so, I mean, and it also, I remember falling so hard into this trap. And one of my clearest memories of trying to eat less calories was how it forced me to seek out just completely nutrient-free foods. So the one specific example is I always ate rice cakes with, what's it called? I can't believe it's not butter. I hope that doesn't even exist anymore. It probably does, though. But it's just a bunch of chemicals pretending to be butter. And it was like all, it was supposedly zero calories. I think the rice cake is like 5 calories and the I can't believe it's not butter is 0 calories, which when you think of it, if something that you're ingesting is 0 calories and it's not water, what is it then?
Yeah.
What is it then if it's 0 calories? Like, it doesn't make sense. But anyway, I would eat them constantly throughout the day because I was so hungry because I was cutting out all these calories. So I'm eating all of this plastic or whatever I'm eating, putting that into my body, so unhealthy at the... just because I had this goal of eating fewer calories, but I had to eat,
yeah.
Right? And so it just, it forces you, when you're thinking about less with nutrition, it forces you to seek out foods that have really no nutrients and do nothing for your health.
Yeah, I would see Lauren in her dorm. This was when we were in college. And I mean, at the time, Lauren was working out potentially every single day.
Definitely.
At a very high intensity. And so her muscles are breaking down, like in a good way, her muscles are breaking down and, you know, she's really wearing her body down. And you have to replenish your energy, replenish your calories in order for your muscles to grow back stronger and all that sort of stuff. But she was back in her room and eating these very nutrient, not dense foods. And her body wasn't getting the nutrition that it needed. And so these are all different ways where she was trying to chase fitness over her health and not considering the repercussions there.
Yeah.
And so... yeah, over the years, we've definitely found that it's so much more empowering to think about ways that you can add more things into your nutrition. And we found that it also just helps your overall health and fitness profile as well, because it'll help your workouts, it'll help your sleep, it'll help everything else.
Yeah, and a lot of times when people think about this, like if you hear it, it's like, it sounds good. And then you really start thinking about it and you're like, well, how am I supposed to just add a bunch of calories to my diet? And like, won't I just gain a bunch of weight? But the reality is, if you're focusing on adding nutrient dense foods, so things that have, you know, high protein or a lot of micronutrients, a lot of like nutritional value to them, like fruits and vegetables and proteins and grains, all these things have a lot of nutritional value. They will make you feel fuller. And you won't have as much room for things that don't have as much nutritional value.
Yeah.
So there is this sort of like automatic replacement of sorts where you're adding in healthier options. And so less healthy options or less nutrient dense options sort of just start to fall by the wayside because you don't have room. You're actually full. You're actually satisfied. We don't like value that. Somehow in society, we don't value like feeling satisfied. Mm-hmm. We value like eating as little as possible and like not eating to fullness. And like, it was like,
yeah.
We don't value like actually feeling satisfied by your meal so that you then don't seek out, you know, we don't have a, you don't binge after a satisfying meal.
Yeah.
You binge after a restrictive meal that you feel like you are missing out on so much that that's what makes you then go eat everything sweet in the pantry. But like, if you're satisfied, you're good.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it's a counterintuitive a little bit when you are, when you've been told for so long that everything is about calories, everything is about making sure that you're not eating too much, but eating more nutrient dense foods is actually going to really, really, really benefit you in so many different ways in the long run. All right. So that was principle number 5. Think more, not less when it comes to nutrition. Let's move on to number 6. Principle 6 is have a form of accountability.
Yeah, and this one, there's different levels to this. And I think when you first look at it, you think about like the social accountability aspect. But what we want to start with is having some sort of plan that you follow. So this could be a online workout program. This could be a workout program written by a fitness professional. This could be something that you find in a magazine. But basically, having some sort of structure. Because if you are trying to wing things based upon something that you saw on Instagram or something that you randomly saw in a fitness article, like, and you're constantly trying to come up with things to do or things to follow on the fly, that's not going to be a very enjoyable process in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. It's gonna make it feel really daunting to try to come up with something. I used to do that when I joined my first gym. I was like 16 when I joined my first gym. And I remember I would just wander around and like kind of see which pieces of equipment were available. And that's kind of what I did for my workout,
yeah. Right?
Which is like kind of stressful, especially if you're going to go at a busy time of night and you know that a lot of the machines are going to be taken. Like having no plan makes going to the gym really stressful because you just don't know what's going to happen when you show up. So when you think about, oh, I have something written out or on my phone or in my head, whatever it is that I know I'm going to do when I get there, it just feels like, oh, like the sigh of relief. Like I can just show up and get it done and I'm not having to think too much about it.
And then when you get it done, it's like a mental like star or sticker that you put into your brain. Like I completed that workout. I got it done. And just helps to keep the ball rolling, helps to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, that's how it relates back to accountability. At first, I was like, oh, are we getting off topic? But it's not, because that having that program or having something to follow is a form of accountability, because you're accountable to the program, or if you have a trainer, accountable to the trainer. With like our Rise program has a Facebook community, you're accountable to the community by posting like that you did week 2, day 3, like whatever, like, and who else did this one? And just giving you this sense of community and accountability to a program really helps to make you more motivated to actually get those workouts done. And then adding to that community aspect, there are a lot of gyms that have really strong communities. So a lot of times we know that most people who are listening probably go to a gym where it's mostly just a gym where you can use equipment, right? Like mm-hmm. a corporate gym setting where they have a ton of pieces of gym equipment, hopefully a ton of free weights, a lot of machines, but like you just go in there and use the equipment and leave, and like there's not much community to it. But there are gyms out there, there are smaller community gyms that have a lot more built-in accountability to the coaches that work there, to the other participants, the other gym goers. Like there are a lot of places that focus on community as one of their sort of core aspects of the gym. Usually these are smaller privately owned gyms, and those can be so, so helpful in feeling accountable and feeling motivated to get your workouts done. So that is something that we tried to really do with Achieve. And we know there are a lot of gyms out there in your community probably that are actually trying to do this too. So if you're somebody who finds that typical gym experience, that typical sort of like, you know, Planet Fitness type, I feel like we kind of bash on Planet Fitness. It's not really fair. It's only because they don't allow deadlifting. We just can't get behind it. But it's fine. Like if you go to Planet Fitness, that's fine. It's just that for a lot of people, that type of setting is not motivational, and they may pay the $10 a month fee, but never feel like excited or, you know, motivated to go. But a smaller gym where you know every, like the you walk in the door and they know your name for real, not just because they're reading it off your name tag or your key tag. Like they actually expect you to be there. You feel so much more accountable to actually go.
Yeah. And same goes with workout buddies, or if you have a personal trainer, all those are different ways where there's an actual like person on the other side of it that you are, that is expecting you, you're expecting them. And it's just like accountability all around. And it doesn't also have to be a physical person like in front of you. It could also be more of like a virtual setting. So Lauren mentioned a Facebook group could be helpful, but also things like a Discord server or an online community forum, a Reddit forum. Like there's all sorts of different ways where you can connect with other people that just get it, that you don't have to explain things to. It's just like everyone understands what part of the journey everyone else is on, and they are in full support of that. And it's just so invaluable to feel like you're part of something and not completely isolated and alone and feeling like you're just totally the odd one out.
Awesome. So that was principle number 6, having a form of accountability to help keep you motivated. Principle number 7 is to let your goals be true to you. And so what we mean by this is to let your goals, or when you're thinking about your health and fitness goals, have them be innate to you as an individual versus something that society tells you should be your goal, right? A lot of times when we're thinking about like, oh, okay, I need to have a goal in order to motivate myself to work out, we just think about like weight loss. That's like the sort of
generic
go-to, like, well, everyone says like weight loss should be a goal, so I guess it's going to be. And we saw this time and time again at Achieve, at our old gym. We actually, when we did an initial evaluation, we would have people sit down and tell us their goals. This was like a big part of that. And we did this because we were trying to be really motivational. And it's probably something we would actually do differently now, I think, knowing sort of what we know about goals. But there would be so many instances of people who showed up for the first time. They probably, maybe they hadn't been to a gym in months or years, and they just knew that they should work out, right? Like they just knew that that was probably something that they should get into, but they didn't have a specific goal. And so they would just be like, I guess I want to lose 10 pounds. And that was just like the generic response. And we'd be like, okay, like, why do you want to lose 10 pounds? And they'd be like, because that's the weight I was in college. Like, yeah. It would just go down like they, you could tell like the more questions you asked, the less excited they were about this goal. Like, yeah. They didn't actually care, right?
Yeah, they're like, just help me get into shape.
Just move on. And so, and we had this goals board at the gym too, where you could write down, like, it was like a, what's it called? Whiteboard paint or whatever. So we painted a whole wall and it was a goals board and you could write down what you wanted your goal to be. And then people would like check it off and ring a bell. And it was exciting when people accomplished their goals. And you could really distinguish between people who were new and wrote down their goal that they told us on their initial evaluation versus people who had been at the gym for a while, because the goals so clearly shifted from this generic goal that someone thought that they should have to something so, so hyper specific to that individual. So many times you would see like, get 3 pull-ups. Mm. And like, nobody would come into a gym and be like, I want to do 3 pull-ups. Like, that's actually so random, right? Most people would either say like, I want to get my first pull-up, or I want to do 10. But like, 3 is a pretty random number.
Yeah.
But because somebody was, you know, has been coming to the gym and working hard, and all of a sudden they got their first pull up and now they're like, I want to get more. Like, I'm going to make my next goal 3. And then they write that down on the board because they're actually so excited about the potential to do this thing that they never thought that they could do. But it's so specific to them and something that they found was exciting to them. And that we in turn would be so much more inspirational to them, so much more motivational to them, that then they would continue to show up and continue to work and everything else. Like, they would still do the rest of their workout, but they were like there for those pull-ups.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we would see things all the time that would be like, yeah, I want to do 3 pull-ups. I want to deadlift 210 pounds and I want to run 2 miles at a 7:37 pace. And it's like, it's just so specific. And I think the great part of letting goals come naturally as a part of the lifting process and fitness process is that you will lean into your strengths, which means that you're going to lean into things that you naturally enjoy and are naturally good at. And that makes the process so much more fun than this kind of like head in the clouds goal of like, I want to lose 5 pounds. That has, you have very little control over that specific number, but you do have more control over how much weight you put on a bar and how to progress it from week to week. You have more control over metrics like running metrics, like all of that you have more control over, and it's just more, much more enjoyable along the way as well.
Yeah, so just let your goals organically develop and also let them be fluid. Let them change as you go and as you find new things that you're excited to do, or as you find new, you know, or as you endeavor into new aspects of fitness. Like, just let them evolve and let them be free flowing as you go. All right. So that's principle number 7. Let your goals be true to you. And then finally, principle number 8 is to prioritize enjoying the journey, which I guess is also, it's like the, okay, if we called the first one the umbrella, this one's like the bucket.
this is the bucket.
What a terrible analogy. But basically, like, everything can go into this bucket. I think bucket is a great analogy. Great way of saying this. I'm gonna stick with it. But anyway, prioritize enjoying the journey, making sure that what you're doing when it comes to health and fitness is actually enjoyable. It seems really obvious.
This is something, that seems obvious, but is never really talked about. Yeah. And it's like, oftentimes it's always like, oh, you have to be disciplined. You have to show grit. You have to be ultra motivated. And like, there's all this like built up pressure and stress and burden around getting more in shape. But, you know, and there's also like all this stuff where it's like people relate fitness to like going into battle or going into war. There's so much stress and burden around this whole concept. And we think that fitness is something that you should enjoy. It's something that you get to be able to do, not something that you should force yourself to be able to do. And so hopefully through the other principles that we've gone over and also the other episodes that we've gone over, we're showing you that fitness, whatever your goals are, can be really achieved through manageable ways, as long as consistency and things like progressive overload, like these very basic concepts are taken into account. A lot of things just kind of naturally work itself out. It's only when you try to take shortcuts or try to get there quicker through more intense means, through more unsustainable means, that things start to become really burdensome. And it starts to just suck the joy out of training, and you're trying to achieve these goals, but you're not really enjoying yourself along the way.
Yeah. And you know, we always talk about strength training because it is what we really enjoy. And it's also something that we think everyone can benefit from, you know, whether it's a young kid or an elderly individual, like everyone can benefit from being stronger. And so we do get passionate about it. We get excited about it. We want people to get stronger. We want people to strength train. But if we encountered somebody who was like, I just absolutely hate strength training, I hate lifting weights, I hate it all, we wouldn't tell them, well, too bad. You have to do it or do nothing at all.
Do it 4 times a week.
Yeah. Like, sorry, that's what's best for you. Like, no, we would encourage them to, or we would ask them, what do you enjoy? And maybe it's swimming. Maybe it's Zumba. Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's walking. Like, just because we think strength training is one of the most beneficial things for people doesn't mean that nothing else is beneficial, because there are, if you enjoy it and if it's something that you're going to do, that is going to be so much more beneficial than trying to force something that you hate. Because forcing something that you hate is just like a lot of the other principles we talked about, so unsustainable. It's only going to, your motivation is going to be all over the place because you're forcing it as opposed to embracing it and doing it because you enjoy it. So there's this sort of line of like figuring out what is the best thing that I can do that I also really do find enjoyment out of.
Yeah. And you know, when you hear this fitness advice that's like, you have to do this, you have to do that, what they are not taking into account is the most important part of all this is, for in order for someone to like get going on their fitness journey, is that they have to enjoy it and they have to gain confidence from it. And if strength training isn't the answer right now, then you need to find other solutions around it. And what ends up happening is that, let's say you start to do yoga or you start to do running or whatever fitness endeavor that makes you feel more confident, and you're like, oh, I can do this, I can do this, you will eventually probably go down and find strength training as a way to cross train. And you'll find that actually it's not that bad. It's just that initially it was a little bit too much of a shock to the system. I needed to ease into it with things that I actually enjoyed and then find value in strength training later on. And so it's like, yes, maybe that advice is technically correct, but it's not really taking into account what is really important, which is to get that person, that individual, find out what they like, what makes them tick, and then build upon that confidence.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let's do a little recap of all 8 principles. We're going to alternate so that it's more interesting to listen to. All right, principle number 1, I'm going to start. Have fitness fit into your life rather than take over your life.
Principle number 2 is focus on health over fitness.
Principle number 3 is consistency over intensity.
Principle number 4...
Jason just held up three fingers.
Principle number four is add when you can, subtract when you need.
Principle number five is think more, not less when it comes to nutrition.
Principle number six is have a form of accountability.
Principle number seven is let your goals be true to you.
And principle number eight is prioritize enjoying the journey.
All right. So we hope that this sort of serves as a little bit of a foundational piece for you and gives you a lot to think about in terms of how to approach just a general fitness journey without feeling burdened or overwhelmed. I think that is one of our top goals with this podcast, is to just really help people feel like this is approachable. This, you know, starting, whether you're starting on a fitness journey for the first time or whether you've been on it for a long time but are feeling this like pressures in all these different ways, like just starting to take some of those pressures off your shoulders, take some of the weight off of your shoulders, and let this be a process that works, fits into your life, is enjoyable. And hopefully this gives you just some things to fall back on to remind yourself of as you're going through that journey, as you hit some of those roadblocks along the way, that you can do this, and that it doesn't take too much actually to be reasonably fit.
Yeah. And we'll dive in deeper into each of these topics as, you know, this podcast progresses. But if you have any very specific questions related to this podcast, please let us know at reasonablyfitpod on Instagram. We'll be posting a post with this sort of episode title in our feed. And so you can post specific comments or questions or concerns, hopefully not concerns.
Well, maybe post concerns if you have them
on Instagram. But otherwise, if you could leave us a review or a rating on iTunes or whatever podcasting platform that you subscribe to, that would be awesome.
Love it. I do think we say iTunes all the time, but I think it's officially Apple Podcasts.
Oh, it's Apple Podcasts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. iTunes is actually no more. And the Apple iPod, like the iPod, not the iPhone, is discontinued. There's no more iPod.
There's no more.
Yeah. Oh, it's an end of an era.
I still have my green pepper. Do you know what that is? Do you remember?
Yes.
I have. When this was a sweet story. Well, we decided to not start with any stories, but I'll go way off topic for the conclusion. So we were in college and it was my birthday and my friends all came together to get me a gift and they wanted to like surprise me in a nice way. And actually, it's funny because this gift is related to the fact that I was very obsessed with fitness and I needed something to make working out easier in terms of listening to music. So they all got together and got me an iPod Shuffle, which anybody who's like under 25 doesn't even know what that is. But it was this tiny little square iPod. Like
1 inch by 1 inch.
It was teeny, and you could clip it onto your shirt. So that's what I would do. I'd like clip it onto
and the sprint.
Yeah. And it held like 30 songs. Yeah. But anyway, they got me one, but they wanted to be like sneaky about how they gave it to me. And I also really, really loved buffalo chicken subs. So they put the shuffle inside a buffalo chicken sub and gave it to me. And they're like, happy birthday. And they gave me the sub as like a birthday present. And I was like, thank you so much. I love buffalo chicken subs. Like thinking that this was the gift. And I was like, yeah, really appreciative.
Didn't take much.
But how much I love buffalo chicken subs, I hate equally green peppers. And I like bit into it and I saw something green and I was like, oh, there's green peppers in here. And then it turned out to be a green iPod Shuffle inside my sub. And it was not a green pepper, but I ended up calling it my green pepper. And it was really one of the most thoughtful gifts that you like in college that anyone could have gotten me.
You have to understand our friend group to understand why we put an iPod Shuffle into a buffalo chicken sub, but I'm sure you all have your own friends that do weird stuff like that to each other because you know each other so well. But it's kind of a weird story, but that's the origin of the green pepper.
That's where the green pepper came from. Anyway, for those of you who've never heard of an iPod Shuffle, you can Google it. I'm sure there are pictures of the ancient iPod Shuffle. Yeah, rest in peace. So anyway, we'll leave you with that.
Until next time.
Sweat out.
Happiness in.